Coach of the Mouth Pod. This is Coach Jeff Williams along with Coach Daryl Fimple and the Mouth Brent Bender. Before we get into it, guys, let's go ahead and thank our sponsors. Our podcast is powered by Lindsay and Associate, also All-American Steakhouse in Springdale, and the Pigs brand. Oh, I see Daryl throw that Coke can up there.
Yeah. Coca-Cola bottlers there at Fort Smith. It's getting that time of the year. I might need some Cokes. I always heard this story. They'll show up with a big, huge Coke truck and just drop them off at your house. Let's drive her that.
Well, I talked to you a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into it, guys. Let's recap. I mean, unbelievable weekend of football. I mean, everywhere. I mean, there are some unbelievable games we're going to get into, and we got to recap here. Daryl, go ahead and recap. Let's talk about 2A, 3A, 4A, our smaller schools, a little bit, some great ball games, some upsets out there. Boy, home field advantage made a big difference.
Made a huge advantage. And the big thing about all the games this week from 2A to 3A to 4A, turnovers. Huge, man. Anytime you change possessions, then you got some teams that just, like Salem running the football right at Rivercrest and keeping them off the field. Possessions, we talked about earlier with Coach Wood, how those teams just play into possession after possession. Conway Christian come back against Junction City with a big throw at the end to win that game. We had so many close games. Mills, over Warren, what a fantastic game that was. It was the last game on. I think it lasted seven hours.
Can we tell everybody, Mills, the game starts at 7.
Yes.
A little late start. It's okay, guys. We hung on for you, though.
It was all right, man. Welcome to the galaxy. Huge game with that one going on. Bismarck, the Keithley boys kept continuing. Four downs found a way. A big scoop and score. Actually, they fumbled their own ball and then picked it up and ran it in, which is kind of crazy to me. So Fort Ice finding ways to win with a new quarterback who played really well.
Talked to Coach Rogers early in the week and he was a little nervous. I mean, they got a lot of guys out, Cadillacs out, guys, and Coach Rogers again finds a way to do it.
Yes, and Mansfield, the Burton boys.
Yeah.
They combined, the Burton boys, Sam and Daniel, combined for almost 450 yards rushing. Did you get that? 450 yards rushing. So Mansfield just pounded. This is going to be a great game.
Yeah, buddy.
Goes to Mansfield this week, which is going to be awesome. Like, it's going to be old school football back in the day. Then Batesville Southside.
Yeah.
We're perfect.
Undefeated, we're perfect. Buddy.
Owen McLaughlin's over 1,200 yards total. Rushing yards. They like to do it in different ways. Trey Allen's a quarterback, hit a big pass this past week in the passing game. Arkadelphia keeps rolling. It was going to be who had the ball last in that one. It seemed like a big win over Arkadelphia over Dardanelle this week. Bryson McCoy keeps rolling. Defensively, Arkadelphia is extremely good. Then you got Elkins. Elkins just found a way. Walden went over 211 yards rushing this past week. Ben Napier was really, really good in that game. Their quarterback defensively came up. They scored in all three phases, Elkins.
Yeah.
Big, huge test, though.
Yeah.
I mean, like we talked about earlier, that they're headed down to the galaxy right now. I don't know. And those guys are fired up, finding ways to win. They're so explosive. And, man, they are really young, too. That's what's crazy. They're playing kids that don't even know what they're playing. They're just thinking it's like Little League football again. I mean, it's a freshman quarterback's phenomenal. So it was a great week, and I think it's going to be only a bigger week this week.
Well, and I did. I'm going to hit the 5A, 6A a little bit.
Oh, don't forget. I forgot about EPC, though.
Oh, and
everybody else has too. Gaines, Jacob Gaines. Yeah, you've heard that name before. Oh, yeah, little brother had 220 yards, and D. Buchanan had 238 yards. That's 538 yards total rushing between the two cats. All right, so their offensive line will push you around. They manhandled Mount Ida this past week.
Well, and we're going to talk about them later on. Nobody's talked about them. They're just sitting in the state finals, guys.
Oh, yes, and they're in the state finals. Yeah.
And everything. Well, I'm going to hit the 5A, 6A a little bit. You got to start with the Farmington Cardinals. What an unbelievable game. I mean, down the whole game. And we talked about this earlier with Coach Tyson's bunch. They just find ways to win. Get two onside kicks. Boom, go score. And then hold them off to the very end. Unbelievable. Great Lakeside team. And I don't know if we ever stopped them. I don't know. I don't think Farmington ever did, but they find ways to win and they're there. Then you look at Parkview, they go over to Valley View and they're just doing Parkview things, as the mouth says. And then Greenwood took care of Mountain Home, which was
in, and then the Farmington game, Lester in the final. The final quarter had 209 yards and four touchdowns.
Yeah, just put them on.
So back. Here's the thing is, I think we need to get off to a good start somehow. Or
no. Yes. Yes. Just like,
because if you wait around against Parkview, you're going to be behind 48-0. Exactly. So you're going to have to get off to a lot better start.
No doubt about it.
Maybe take him in the parking lot and run him around.
Yeah. For sure. We got a big parking lot there at War Memorial.
Getting lathered up.
Lathered up a little bit. And then, you know, Greenwood took care of business with Mountain Home. And then Shiloh goes on the road to Benton, played field position, threw it, ran it, did whatever they wanted to. Big win for Shiloh, and they punched their ticket there.
Had to play the backup quarterback.
Yeah, sure did. But unbelievable job of them. Mouth, to talk to us a little bit about 7A, little upset up here in Benton County.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's look at the first game where we got, PA came down to Bryant to test the Hornets. And they got stung a little bit.
Yeah.
They got stung. I'm just going to tell you, that was total domination by the Bryant Hornets. Bryant is just physical. That's the best thing I can describe them. Good luck blocking their defensive line. I don't know how you do it, first of all. Now, so Bryant's in the finals. Then in the nightcap, we had the Wampus Cats of Conway going up to Bentonville. Conway is the last team that defeated. Bentonville's on a 9-game winning streak coming into the state championship against Bryant on Saturday night. Is it Saturday night when that game? You know, in that game, Conway had every opportunity to win it. They did. Conway, at some point, will have to figure out how to win a game to get past third round.
Yeah.
But hats off to Jody, Coach Grant.
I tell you, the hats off to in that Bentonville game is special teams guy.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Because, man, he had them lined up ready to go. They kicked that thing with 60 seconds rolling.
And I got to give Jody credit in that situation right there. You see people panicking. They practiced it. They had 20 seconds.
You could tell.
They were getting sacks, and he wasn't fooling around with it, and runs them out there, and they get settled, boom, and put it up. And,
boom.
Yeah.
Should be a group, but I see Bentonville will have to play a perfect game this weekend coming.
Well, and we'll get to that a little bit later on. But unbelievable games, guys. I mean, go through it. I mean, there are some
really playoffs.
Playoffs, and there's a lot of good football teams that went home and that's what we're here for this time of year. All right, Darryl, let's get into it. Let's go small school top six.
Small school top six. We're not even doing no also's. The also's got eliminated. So you're out of here. You're out of here, Jack. Number six, EPC.
Yes, we'll
give
sir.
Us love at number six. Like I said, D. Buchanan, Jacob Gaines, they can run the football. They don't turn it over. Over 458 yards between those two guys this past week on the ground. Going to be a huge test against Conway Christian's defense. I think it's going to be a great game to watch, too. Number five, I'm kind of a believer here. You know, we kept talking about schedule. Well, Mills has overcome the schedule.
Yeah.
They have pulled a Parkview in 4A here. Elijah Moody, the freshman. Zamarian McDonald, the sophomore, had two big runs over 30 yards against Warren this past week. Moody scores with 18 seconds left to get him a 47-40 victory there. Poor Warren, you talk about snake bit the whole entire year at quarterback. It was impossible. Finally they just figured out, hey, we'll put Antonio Jordan back here and just start running. But Mills figured out a way to win. Like I said, very, very young. What a great job Coach Lee's done there. Number four is going to be Bismarck.
Coach I like him.
Coach Keatley did a great job because he's got two kids that can really play. He's probably going to have job security until they – and they're doing things. Like I said, they've got the most wins in Bismarck history already. you know, headed to this game. Ben threw three touchdowns last week and ran for one. He threw one to his brother. And they beat Osceola 28-17. Yeah. So there goes the OA. Can they handle speed? You got to remember, they play against Prescott and they're in the same league. So they see some speed like that. Didn't shy away from it. Big, huge win for them this past week. Number three, Mansfield. As long as the Burton boys are healthy, they've got a chance because they are playing extremely good on the defensive side of the ball. The Burton boys combined for 267 yards and five touchdowns this past week. They beat Dumas 36-6, who was coming on there. That was a huge win for Mansfield. Number two, Arkadelphia. The Badgers are going to slide into our number two spot. They beat Dardanelle 35-27 in the battle of quarterbacks in that game. Bryson McCoy did a great job again for Arkadelphia. Arkadelphia's defense found a way to slow down Vega. And you say, hey, they gave up 27 points. But Dardanelle's averaged about 40, 45. So they did a really good job defensively there. Number one team still going to be Elkins. Yeah. Elkins slides into our one spot with a 45-31 win over Malvern. Malvern's scores kind of came late in that game, too. It wasn't really that close. They scored in all three phases of the game. And like I said, Ben Napier threw two touchdown passes. One of them was to Walden. Walden had 211 yards on the ground, so I think that he's back healthy. So that makes Elkins extremely, extremely tough. Huge game, though. Traveling to Mills.
Yeah.
You know, Galaxy, I think the announcers, which were awesome, by the way, on our YouTube channel, said, take exit three, man. Don't take it personal. It's all about business. I like those guys. I got to slide those guys. Yeah. Big six, big school six. Hey, the number six coming in there, rolling in there right now. And they're finding ways to win in this game. They played it before. Shallow Christian comes in at number six with the 45-32 victory over Benton. They forced turnovers in that Benton game. Griffin Mason did Griffin Mason stuff, over 240 yards rushing. They had two quarterbacks play. Their starter got knocked out there. The backup came in and led them down the field a couple times too, threw for almost 200 yards himself. Like I said, they just found ways to win. And Shiloh, you know, it was 28-17 at Greenwood. Which is going to be, you know, a return to it. I think if they could keep them off the field, they might have a chance there, but they're going to roll in at number five. Number four, Bentonville. Bentonville, 36-34 over Conway. When do we ever get to talk about kickers? Poor guy missed one, missed the extra point. They're chasing points the whole game. They sneak him out there 16. Hey, I didn't even realize how far it was. It was 37 yards.
Oh, I know.
It wasn't like it was a cheap shot. Like, he hammered it.
And the wind caught it right in the middle of it. That's crazy. Yes,
I tell you what, the player of the game on that defensively was probably number 42 was their spy. The whole night long, that poor guy was running all over the place trying to chase Wilson out of the pocket or trying to catch him. This is going to be a telltale, too. Do they stay in the three front against Bryan? Do they go to the four front? They're going to have to figure out some things on the defensive side for Bentonville to have a chance this week. But they slide into number four. Number three, Parkview, just electric, man. They scored two defensive touchdowns this past week, 44-14 over Valley View at Valley View. The Bunning kid has just given them a different option, being able to throw the football down the field. And they just got so many weapons, man. And then they'll put Murphy back at quarterback. He broke one for about 55 yards. Jace White had a big, huge pick six on the back end of that stuff. Number two, Greenwood.
Yeah.
Kane Archer, done at halftime again, by the way. Here's an interesting stat. You ready? He's got 54 touchdowns. He has one interception. And I think it might have been a tip pass. I think we might just hand it to him just to break it up. And he's got 49 incompletions.
That's what I look forward to.
That's the craziest thing ever. Ever since I seen that stat, I thought, man, something's got to be wrong here.
Yeah.
The dude has 54 touchdowns to 49 incompletions. And the Carnes kid had a huge game for him. Champ Davis did too. And I'm telling you, defensively, man, they will just swarm you. They are so fast. So fast. And they're really good up the middle too. Which we talk about, most of these teams are playing because they're good up the middle. Bryant is our number one, rolls in there, front four on defense. I don't know what you do, especially if you get behind because they just cut loose. I mean, I swear to God, I think they blocked the PA tried to block the Hill kid with four people. I think they just pulled everybody to try to smash him down, and that just frees up them guys inside. And offensively, they just got a three-headed monster. They will run it with Anderson Thrash, and now the Curtis Jones kid's kind of the finisher guy. Jordan Walker, like we said, getting into the playoffs, they're starting to run him more too. That just opens up stuff. A lot of one-on-one matchups on the outside. They got a and, you know, you fill the box and they still got weapons on the outside and they get it to it. And Coach Sanders has done an amazing job. He's got these guys motivated. I mean, this is their seventh trip. Seven out of the last 8 years, this is their trip. And, you know, they know how to make it. And I'm telling you, what's crazy is a lot of their team's still juniors, too.
Yeah. So
it's a scary thought. But, yeah, Bryant's going to be our big school number one.
Well, I think your list is there. Everybody deserves it, and everybody's earned their way, no doubt. Well, let's go ahead and do this. Let's go ahead and bring on our Lindsay Associated guest, Hall of Famer, former state champion of Fordyce Red Bugs, former head coach, Jim Cox. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, Coach.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. I appreciate all you guys do. I mean, you really keep the whole state, and matter of fact, probably part of the nation updated with Arkansas football, and I love it.
Well, we had a lot of fun doing it, Coach. We're going to get in this. I want to go ahead and ask you this question, because you pulled off probably in 1991 one of the greatest upsets. I'd say one of the top three upsets in state championship history. Your Red Bucks break defeating Dalloway. I think they had a 49-something game winning streak.
52.
Yeah, you'd remember. And that part. Going into the finals, being a big underdog, we got that situation, and we're going to talk about it later on. What was your mindset going into that? I mean, did you just believe you were going to win? You had a great football team, or you kind of knew the circumstances going into it because nobody gave you a chance?
Well, I like that one statement. I believed, along with all our players, that we were going to win. And I'll tell you what was interesting during that week. You know, of course, you go through your scout reports and all this other stuff, and we're out there practicing, and we're going over something, and some of our kids, you know, their eyes would light up, and they would ask questions. So we knew we had their attention. And so, you know, but as far as being an underdog, yeah, I mean, we knew we had to play mistake-free, and, it was a great game. But our kids really believed that they could go in and win that football game. And you're looking, I believe Dalloway was rated number one the previous year.
Yeah.
And then they bumped down, and here we're playing them in the finals, and they are phenomenal. I'm talking about phenomenal. And we didn't make a lot of yardage. They had a great defense, but there were turnovers. Yeah. You know, we capitalized on those turnovers, and that made the difference. We also made an adjustment. Steve Baxter, defense coordinator, we had one of our guys, linebacker, was hurt. So we put Andre Tofrey in a different linebacker spot, and he was able to hit the gap, and he was able to make some tackles behind the line of scrimmage in the second half. Made a world of difference. But I'll tell you something else. It was our community, too. And all these small schools that have never been to the state championship, that community support is just unreal. And, you know, I look at Mansfield, I look at Bismarck, I look at Salem, Southside. Now, as far as I know, they had never played in the state championship. No. You know, probably hadn't been in the semifinals. But don't you know, those communities are just going absolutely crazy.
Oh, yeah, you see it every week. I mean, the crowds are unbelievable and the support all over the internet and everything. All right. Well, guys, let's get into it here.
It'll get you a millage pass, too.
Get a millage pass, too, Coach. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Southside. They did it.
They got that millage pass last year.
They're undefeated in the semis, guys. It's all that.
There's no coincidence here. Administration wins the championship.
That's right.
Well, let's get into it, guys. Let's start off over here in Southwest Arkansas. You got the Fordyce Red Bugs, who Coach Rogers, I'll be honest with you, I didn't give him much of a chance last week with all the injuries, comes out and finds a way. They score on the 11 seconds go to beat defending state champion Boonville, headed over to Bismarck. Got to watch Bismarck a lot last week. Very, very impressed with their physicality, how athletic they are, and how hard they play. Should be an outstanding matchup. Fordyce has been there. Bismarck was there last year. Darryl, break it down for us.
Well, you know, Fordyce, big win last week, 34-26. That was their first lead with 11 seconds left. Yeah, they took the lead with 11 seconds left, found a ways. Michael Gamble, is the running back at 13 carries for 141 yards. Xavier Jones is the quarterback they just plugged in. And I'm telling you, he's played really well. He had 169 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground, threw for 104 and a touchdown. He had a 71-yard touchdown run in that game. And I'm telling you, they were really impressive on both sides of the ball. They held Boonville held tight. That was the biggest thing was Boonville just didn't just smash them and smash them and smash them. They held onto the rope there. I thought Fort Dice found a way to win that game. And tell you the truth, I thought by the end of the game, I thought they were better. They were just a better team. And I'm going to tell you this, but Fort Dice's little band is awesome. You watch halftime of the band, little HBCU action going on. They got a little guy that's a drum major. He's awesome. it was fantastic. They traveled to Bismarck, though. Bismarck and Coach Keithley has done a phenomenal job. Like I said, they've won more games than they ever have. And you know what? I think they realize how special of a group they've got. You know, that's one of those things in coaching. When you get into games like this and this time of year, you figure out real fast you got a special group of kids. They beat Osceola. Answered the question again, can you stop team speed? Can you, you know, and you've got Coach Gray over there game planning for you, and Coach Hooks always has those guys ready. And they beat Osceola 28-17 this past week. Ben Keithley, quarterback, got back, got healthy. He threw three touchdowns to three different people, including his brother. He ran for one also. And I think defensively, Bismarck is a little underrated there. I agree. They did a great job defensively. They changed fronts a lot. This will be a big one for them. Like I said, they've dealt with team speed, and I think Fort Dice has got that. And they get to play at home. And like Coach Cox says, you know, both those teams, everybody in Fort Dice is going to be at Bismarck. I don't know how big of a home field advantage you got here, because I can guarantee you, especially if they get that band there. They need to get them a band bus and get the Fort Dice band over there is what they need to do. But this one's going to be a tough one right here. Like, you've got the tradition of Fort Dice, and Coach Cox and them all started that, which is awesome to have him on the show. But I think this is a telltale sign. I think this is what Bismarck has been working up for. Like I said, I think they've got a bunch of town support. And Coach Keithley's done a fantastic job. So I'm going to take Bismarck in this one.
Take a Bismarck. All right, Malfield. I mean, this unbelievable matchup right here, which they all are, but Fort Dice knows how to get to War Memorial. Bismarck's trying to get there for the first time. Talk to us a little bit about Malfield.
Ooh. Well, Fort Dice is going to this game with Bismarck with Cadillac in the garage.
Yeah.
Cadillac's had knee surgery. You know, that's a big problem. I don't know. That's a big situation for Fort Dice to overcome. But Fort Dice beat Boonville last week on the last play of the game. So they're not scared of getting, when the going gets tough, they get going. Okay. The Red Bugs get to fighting. Bismarck with Keekley's, Coach Keekley's done an outstanding job. It helps when you got two boys that can flat go, you know.
Hell yeah.
I couldn't help my dad play, but I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to have to do like that. I'm going to have to go. With that being said, I'm going to go with Bismarck in this one.
Going with Bismarck, going with the home team. All right, Coach Cox, you're close to this, buddy. Be careful here now.
I'm gonna be very careful. I watched that entire game last week, and the thing about it is, it went about as like I thought it would go, because I thought Boonville would pound and pound and pound and be consistent with that wishbone, and I was a little concerned about the quarterback. Yeah, the Cadillac's in the garage, but I'm gonna tell you, they have a Lamborghini now.
Let go.
First time, the third play of the game, he went about 70 yards. I said, "Woo, man, he's got some speed." So the thing about Bismarck, I think they'll be similar as far as Boonville's concerned, you know, ground and pound and just do a great job there. If they can contain the speed, the outside speed, and Darryl mentioned that fumble, that was unreal. They pick up a fumble and go about 60 yards. It's just crazy, the speed that they have. I think if Bismarck can control the outside speed, you know, they've got a chance. But you know me, I'm a Red Bug through and through.
Yeah, baby.
And yeah, I mean, baby. I'm picking the Red Bugs to be victorious and be in the state championship again.
Again, there, Coach, making a statement. I think this is an unbelievable game, but I'm going to throw this in. I learned something last week that home field is a big advantage. So it is. And I'm going to go with Bismarck. I think they were there last year. They know how to do it. But Coach Rogers, hats off. You know, and you hear it all the time. But I mean, you know, we hear about injuries, and you know, we've all coached and understand what. But hey, he didn't. I mean, they just marched on. Hats off to Fordyce. But I'm going to go with Bismarck. I think they're just a little bit too much and everything. All right, here we go. Head down to the River Valley here. This game here ought to be over in about 25 minutes. We got Salem, who just dominated Rivercrest up front. I mean, dominated them. Traveling to Mansfield, Coach Overton has answered the bell every week, and they are playing unbelievable. Daryl, what's your thoughts on this one?
Well, this is another one.
Yeah,
just all the time. And I love the field there at Salem. Salem beat Rivercrest 50-18, and that was never close.
It
was never close. And I've never seen Salem runs the inline option like out of eight different sets. I mean, they can go heavy with two tight ends and three backs. They'll split it out like they're going to throw it, which they're not going to throw, by the way. And I don't know who's watching TV, but they're not going to throw it when they don't have to. And they've got all kinds of running backs. Caden Brink's kind of their bell cow. He's over 1,200 yards. Their quarterback's really good. And I tell you what he does a great job of is blocking.
Yeah.
He'll lead in the hose. His name's Jackson Taylor. He's phenomenal. They got a left guard who they'd like to run behind named Carson Kattenbach. What a name, Kattenbach. He's a left guard. He's phenomenal. And then they've got several running backs. They've got a big tight end, Cole Steeman. That's phenomenal. They got a guy that's leading the state in tackles and Kagan Sanderson, so they can get after the quarterback. You know, they're all juniors too.
Yeah.
And they got a little taste of it last year. They got a little bitty running back named Caleb Liggetts, who they play at the fullback position. Listen to this guy. Ready? I call him the horse jockey Liggetts. All right, 5'5", 140. This little dude, you can't even see him. He takes the trap play. You cannot see the little guy. He gets to the second level. Nobody even knows he's there yet. Phenomenal player. They plug in Skylar Payne. He's a little bit bigger back. And like I said, man, their offensive line is so good about if you're getting held up, you're going to get four more yards because they're going to find you and they're going to carry you a little ways. They're going to push that pile a little bit. Salem, extremely physical, very good on defense. You know, they get after the quarterback. Both defensive ends get after the quarterback really well. So a lot of empty sets don't work. But now here comes Mansfield, and Mansfield's going to run that sucker right at you. They're not going to turn it over. They've kind of got their identity figured out. Like you said, you know, early on, they beat Boonville doing Boonville things.
Yeah.
I mean, they played the same exact way. They beat Dumas this past week, 36-6, who might have been the hottest team coming into the playoffs. Daniel Burton went for over 170 yards and three touchdowns. His brother Samuel went for 11 carries for 97 yards and two touchdowns. Daniel broke one for 94 yards.
I saw that.
Right? And Sam broke one for 57 yards. All right. So they had a really good Thanksgiving. They held Dumas to 27 yards in the first half defensively. Mansfield did.
Unbelievable.
So these are two mirror images. I mean, these are two guys that like to put it on the floor. I mean, put it on the field and run that sucker at you. They don't turn it over real well. They don't beat themselves. They're really good in the kicking game also. Salem doesn't make very many mistakes because, like I said, they might throw five passes. And there might be five passes too many. And once you get a lead in this game, it's going to be hard to get them off the field. I mean, that was the whole thing. The possessions you're going to have are very limited here. Mansfield's at home. And I'm going to take Mansfield.
Mansfield going with the home team, Fimp is. And both of them, they can drain a clock in a hurry.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. All right, Mouth. Mansfield, Salem, man. It's two mirror images of each other.
This is going to be one physical.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Over under on possessions. Total. You think six possessions for the game?
I'd say a little bit more than that, but not much more.
No, I'd say probably you're probably looking at 10.
Yeah.
10 at least 10. I don't know. Salem had one. They had one possession that was daggum nearly, I think it was like 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
I mean, just 7 minutes of 3 yards, 5 yards, 2 yards.
And that's,
I mean, did simple math.
And that's going to happen both ways.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
That's going to happen both ways. So the clock will run. I'm just going to tell you that. This is going to be one heck of a game. Salem going to Mansfield. Ooh, golly, that's a tough one to pick. I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to go with Mansfield. But the Mansfield, you don't need to rest on your laurels with Salem coming in.
No, sir. No, sir. All right, Coach Cox, you live right there close by Mansfield. You've watched that program all year long. Salem is taking care of business, got healthy at the right time, and they are steamrolling people.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know much about Salem, but I do know about Mansfield, and I know about their conference. They play a Charleston team, they play a Boonville team, and they beat both those teams. So that says a lot about them. I'll tell you another thing. They've got two Burton boys. And when I moved back to Greenwood in 1996, we had two Burton boys on the football team, and we went to the state championship. So I've got to say that Mansfield, with the two Burton boys and that community, are going to go to the state championship.
Well, Coach is going with Mansfield. I can't disagree with it. I'm going with the home team on this one again. I think that travel after a while it can wear you down a little bit. You know, the back-to-back. And Salem has been at home, but it's a long drive. I'm going with Coach Overton. I think they're going to punch their ticket. But Coach Watson and Salem, don't count those guys out at all. All right. Heading to 4A here, heading to Southwest Arkansas.
Hey, you know, that's Salem's. This is their furthest. This is the first time they've ever been in the semifinals.
I can see. I believe that.
Yeah, is the furthest they've ever been.
And they're healthy, which is a big
deal. And they're healthy.
And they're healthy.
And I'm picking Mansfield still.
Yeah, that's why we're sticking with it. That's why it works. All right, here we go. Southside, who's undefeated, Coach Simpson and them up in Northeast Arkansas took care of business in that conference, which looks a little bit stronger than what we thought it was. It's just rolled all the way through, got good seed in the playoffs, taking care of business, but headed over to Arkadelphia against a great Arkadelphia Badger team.
Well, yeah, and Arkadelphia's been there. That's the biggest thing, too. Yeah. They beat Batesville beat a really good Monticello team, 24-7, controlled the clock, didn't turn it over. Defensively, they can get after the quarterback, too. Owen McLaughlin is their bell cow, junior running back. He's over 1,200 yards. He's averaging a little bit over 100 yards a game. They've got a sophomore that's kind of chipped in, though. He had 200 yards rushing against Hamburg, the Silas kid. It gives him he's got a little bit more speed than the McLaughlin has. McLaughlin will just pound you inside. Quarterback play's been good. Trey Allen hit Cameron Force for an 85-yard touchdown, so they got some speed on the outside. Actually, they faked a field goal, by the way. We got to like it. They hit a 26-yard fake field goal for a touchdown. Force actually threw the ball to London McSpadden, and they scored on a fake field goal against Monticello this past week. So that's a wrinkle that I'm sure Arkadelphia is breaking down right now, the old fake field goal on them. So Batesville Southside, like I said, you can tell us. We followed them last year. They were making grounds on this trip right here. It's a big trip, big task to go all the way to Arkadelphia with all their tradition of winning. And once again, Arkadelphia's defense just found a way to out. You get on the other side of the score for against Dardanelle. They won 35-27 this past week. Bryson McCoy is phenomenal. He makes everybody around him better at the quarterback position. And defensively, man, they come up with some great game plans defensively. Kind of kept that guy. I think they spied him with about, seven people, it seemed like, because they were all getting tired of the Vegas show. So Arkadelphia's at home, been there, done that. Baseball Southside's kind of the new kid on the block. Can they come in there and make a statement? Because I think everybody's going to pick Arkadelphia in this game. That's why I'm going to go with Batesville Southside.
Oh, going with Southside, pulling the upset. Go
look, at look at that. Not don't scared. Let me down. We passed the millage last year.
For pushing
I don't
through.
Know if we built the indoor or not, but maybe the indoor is needed.
Yeah.
And he could.
All
right. Put us back on. Okay. Go ahead.
That's fine. We'll just wait on the mouth. We'll cut it out.
Well, okay. Anyhow, John Nell is from Southside Batesville. He coached there for years and years.
I think Brock Mays, Ricky Mays' boy, is the defense coordinator there. I'm about 100% sure. I didn't want to say it.
Okay.
But I think
you. Well, John he tried to call me, and we were already on. I was wanting him to give me an update, call and find out some information. But See, I don't know anything about them, but boy, I tell you, I have watched the scores over the last few years.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are just improving every year.
Well, he runs. It's old Kenny Simpson. He does a good job. They run the gun tee, basically run wing tee out of the gun.
Okay.
He's a big deal with that guy, but they've got Batesville, all their players, Batesville High has gone over there, and he's got some others, and they're the new school. You know how all that works.
Well, they actually passed like $100 million millage that actually happened the last couple of years. They built a new middle school, did something to junior high, built a football field. I mean, it was crazy.
That is. Well, that
when we started this show, we made a big deal about it. I mean, we
that'll tell you what good, successful athletic, especially your football team. I mean, if they can get going, I mean, it just brings a lot of enthusiasm to the community.
Yes.
We won the two out of the first three games this year in the whole school year, first semester, and we didn't win another one. But just starting off that way, the whole school year was just better.
Yeah.
Y'all let me know when Mouth gets back.
Our bunch went 0-12, 0-10. It did not go well in the hallways.
No. All right, Mouth, you're back. All right, here we go. Daryl, you already made your pick, didn't you? Yep. All right.
I went Batesville South.
Okay, yep. All right, Mouth, you, Batesville Southside, has been sitting there undefeated. They can run the football, big and physical, but you like Arkadelphia's defensive line. What's your thoughts on this one?
Well, I tell you what it could come down to, and I'm being completely honest, last week Dardanelle was 1-for-4 on extra points. They missed 3 extra points, so they were chasing, and they never would go for 2. Arkadelphia made all their extra points. This could come down to a missed extra point or field goal. I like Arkadelphia in this game. They've been here before. They know what they're doing.
Mouth like Arkadelphia.
Fronts, real. They're real athletic.
They're very good. Coach Evans has done a good job with them. Yes. All right, Coach Cox, you're familiar with Arkadelphia. Southside Batesville's kind of new kid on the block, but sitting there undefeated. Coach Simpson's done a great job.
Well, it's great to see communities be able to get that football program going and just the excitement. And I know they're going to have a lot of fans there in Arkadelphia. But again, I'm not really familiar with them, but I am familiar with Arkadelphia and their tradition and just, the talent level. And plus, they're playing at home. So I've got to go with Arkadelphia. But I tell you what, I'm rooting for these schools that have never been there. That's pretty cool stuff.
Well, it is. It's a great experience. It's something you'll never forget. I'm with you. I think Coach Simpson's going to come in there. They're going to have a good plan. Mouth hit it. That could be a field goal game. But I like Arkadelphia. I like their defensive front and what Trey Shirker's doing over there. But should be an outstanding ball game. All right, another semifinal in 4A. Here we go. Elkins, who's been number one with us pretty much all year long, has dominated. Coach Zach Watson knows how to get to the finals, knows how to get to War Memorial. They were here in this situation. Headed down to Mills. Hadn't said a lot about Mills till last week. They take out Uncle Bo and the Warren Lumberjacks last week. Should be a phenomenal game. A lot of great athletes on this field, Daryl.
Oh, gosh, yeah. All kinds of players in this game. You got Elkins, who beat Malvern last week, 45-31. Ben Napier, the quarterback, went 11 of 17 for 198 yards. He did throw a pick. He did throw one touchdown to Jaquan Walden, who we're going to talk about, the running back, who had 211 yards, 4 touchdowns on the ground, caught a touchdown pass also. They have a big, huge H-back guy who just lays down the – I mean, you need to follow that guy around because he takes care of Walden, opens up some huge holes for him. They got some outside threat, too, with Isaiah Haywood. Their defense, though, forced 4 turnovers last week in that game to kind of just flip the switch on that one. Malvern's got some explosive players. Bishop Allen, the quarterback for Malvern, threw for 420 yards last week.
Good Lord.
So Elkins going to have to tighten up a little bit, there, especially in the secondary with this Mills bunch, because once they get by you, they're electric. Mills gets to play at home. You know, they won that one seed out of that conference and got the bye, and now they get to play at home. So it's setting up for them well. Got a huge win over Warren this past week, 47-40. Zamarian McDonald is a sophomore running back. Plugged him in the second half. He had a 39-yard touchdown run and a 23-yard touchdown run that pretty much changed the momentum of that game. Elijah Moody scores with about 11 seconds left on a 7-yard touchdown run that looked like something off of like a Madden game. He hits the B button, spins, dives into the end zone. It's kind of crazy. With the final 19 seconds, he actually scored that in that game. He's over. He's almost 1,500 yards rushing. Yeah. Elijah Moody is from the quarterback spot. And they're really good up front, too. I mean, both sides of the line, I thought Mills was really good on, you know, how explosive Warren can be, too. But can Elkins travel and make this trip, which is going to be a huge trip, down to exit 3 there on Dixon Road, which we've got some guys kind of waiting for him. I'm sure Mills is going to be excited all week long. I'm sure Elkins is fired up. They know that this is their chance to punch their ticket. You know, they've probably been working for this the whole time. They've got some people healthy too. So I'm gonna take Elkins. I'm gonna take Elkins on the road at the Galaxy. And and I'm sure Mills and Coach Lee's been there. He's gonna play.
Oh, he's been there. He knows.
Everybody's picking against you guys. Nobody's giving you a chance. Everybody's saying you're too young. So who knows what happens here, but I'm going to take Elkins. I'm going to stick with Elkins.
So stick with Elkins. They're number one team. All right, Mouth. Uncle Bo went down to Mills. They weren't too friendly to him last week. And then you've got Elkins, who's ranked number one, is taking care of business. Your thoughts ought to be a great one.
I want to know, will they have enough light bulbs in the scoreboard to keep up with
It's like we always say, though, you know, the ones we think is going to score a bunch, it'll be 10 to 7.
Right, exactly. But this one could take all night.
Yeah,
it could. Forever. That being said, Elkins has had a great year. Now, they've got a long, long bus ride getting down to exit number 3 on Dixon Road from Elkins, Arkansas. Okay. And I just watched Mills Friday night against Warren, and what they can do offensively is just electric with the Moody kid at quarterback and the running back. I mean, they're just fantastic. You can stop them to 2nd and 8, feel like you're doing good, 3rd and 9, and on 3rd down, they'll bust it for 56, going the other way, going for a touchdown. That being said, I'm going to go with the Mills Comets.
Oh, Mouth's going with the Mills Comets right there. That's the question. Coach Cox, that's the big question. Yeah. Mouth's going out there a little bit. I like it.
Well, hey, I'll tell you what. I'm a Cortez Lee fan.
Yeah.
We played against him, and just class act, and I'm excited for what he's done at Little Rock Mills and his staff. I mean, it's great to see Little Rock Mills be competitive again because they've had some down times, and I'm excited about that. But I've also been watching you, like I said, all the whole season, and you continue to rank Elkins at the top. Well, I'm trusting you guys, you know, that you know what you're doing.
That's the kiss of death right there.
I'm going to go with Elkins, but I tell you, I'm still kind of rooting for Cortez Lee.
I got you. Well, you got these friends over this show, Coach. We've done it. Lost a few this year on the way. But the biggest question I think we're all sitting there wondering, can Elkins go on the road and take care of business at Mills, which is we saw it last week with Warren. It's a tough task. I think they can, and I think Coach Watson can get his bunch together. You know, they're going to have to get close and drive down. It's us against the world a little bit, but I'm going to go with Elkins, and that's the big question. Can they go on the road and do it? I mean, they played Warren, neutral site. We had, you know, as far as in the big playoff time, we hadn't seen them. They didn't have to go on the road last year. But I'm going to go with Elkins. I think Coach Watson can get it done. All right. Now, here we go, guys. It's state championship time right here. We've got 4 games this Friday and Saturday coming up. Huge ball games for state championships. Before we do that, let's bring on our Lindsay Associated guest. The man that'll be calling these games, Bobby Swofford. Bobby, welcome to the show.
I appreciate it. Just got out of the car and came back from DFW to talk to you, Jeff.
Well, I know. I know you were just making your plans. Your whole Thanksgiving was all revolved around this interview. You know, it's nobody's listening. So, you know, it's a good deal. You know, we got going on here. So, well, let's get into it real quick. And you're calling some games this weekend, championship games. Let's start that 2A real quick and kind of break that down. Conway Christian is you know, beat Junction City last week. It really taken care of business all year long. EPC, who's was there last year, everybody quit talking about them. They've kind of slid back in there. What's your breakdown on this one? Talk to us a little bit about Conway Christian, then EPC, to get our audience familiar with both these squads.
You know, I think a lot of people question, you know, how good Conway Christian was most of the year. You just don't really know these teams that are, you know, kind of on the rise. Okay, do they have the it factor? Do they have what it takes to make that push? And I think with the way they handled Bigelow in that last game of the regular season really put everybody on notice that, hey, Conway Christian can play a little bit. They've got a dual threat quarterback who can torch you through the air, but also does a really nice job running the football. But the way they rallied back in that second half against Junction City, they're down a couple scores in that contest against a really, really good program in Junction City. For them to come back and win that game, obviously on their home field, got them believing a little bit. Obviously, Coach Kramer and company have done a really good job of building that up. You know, a new school really in the big picture of things. It's nice to see some new blood get to Little Rock. And then as far as EPC, I mean, this is the revenge tour. You know, they got to the championship game last year, had Dennis Gaines, who's now at UCA. Everybody thought, okay, they've got more talent, but Bigelow got it done on the field. And so they've really circled this game and said, hey, we got to get back. We got to amend last year's loss. And they've looked the part all season long. I mean, they've been ranked in the top two or three all season, and they've handled business every time they step on the field.
And that's what's been amazing. I mean, they've played in a tough conference and they rolled right through it. Ought to be a great matchup. Well, let's talk 5A a little bit. Yeah. You've got, Tommy Tyson, the miracle going on out there with Magic Lester and Mark Watley and that whole deal. Mm-hmm. The craziest game I've seen in a long time. And they've done it through special teams, offense. They got to play defense when they need to, but then you got the big bad Parkview Patriots and the Boldy boys over there that, you know, really have played two close games in 2 years against Bryant. And so talk to us a little bit about this one. I mean, it's a Cinderella story against the dominant. So it ought to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the elephant in the room. I mean, what Tommy Tice has done, you know, he gets hired really late in there, obviously to take over a Farmington team that was good last year, you know, just couldn't get over the hump in the playoffs. Everybody said, oh, they're going to lose to Camden Fairview by 2 touchdowns. Everybody said that, oh, they're going to lose to Lakeside by 2 touchdowns. Granted, they were down multiple scores to both of those teams. That's a team and a program that just has 9 lives. I mean, you can't put them out. If there's time on the clock, they're going to go score. You know, and we saw it in a game earlier this year, you know, a 78-75 contest against Morrilton. I mean, they know how to put the ball in the end zone. The offensive line is going to struggle with Parkview. I mean, they've struggled. They've kind of struggled all season long. The quarterback, the lefty, he can create some things, but that's going to be a problem for Farmington, is being able to protect 17 back there. For Parkview, though, you mentioned, I mean, they're rarely tested. They were down in the final minutes against Camden Fairview. I believe that was week 9 or week 10. Yeah. End up winning that game by 2 touchdowns, though. So they faced a little bit of adversity. You know, how do they handle the moment? Well, they handle it almost perfectly every time. I mean, they get to Little Rock, they get to their home stadium, essentially War Memorial Stadium, and they get it done. It's a tough task for Tommy Tice and the Farmington Cardinals, but I don't know that you can count them out until the clock hits zero, just because they can score from anywhere on the field.
Well, that's what we talked about. You know, I think if Farmington to get it in the fourth quarter and let that quarterback run around, you know, funny things can happen, but they got to get there too and everything. Yep. Well, let's look at 6A a little bit. Greenwood Bulldogs, my gosh, Kane Archer, I believe that they were talking about it on here, through 55 touchdowns and 49 incompletions. Yep. People don't know. I mean, you know, that phenomenal number against Shiloh, who they played earlier this week and went to Benton and just unbelievable. Just put on a show. Dominant performance. They were ready to go. They played them close earlier in the year. The only team that Greenwood didn't merge real, Archer got hurt in the middle of the game. Talk to us about this one. And Tucker knows Greenwood. He was still, I mean, there's some connections there. They've been there before.
Yeah, I mean, so first with Shiloh Christian, you know, they're tied at half with Benton, and you think, okay, the home team and the conference champions are going to pull away in the second half, and Shiloh came out after the half and just put it on them. You know, put up 45 points in that contest, and they really put it out of reach, you know, mid third quarter. You know, what Tucker's done since he's, granted, Jeff Conaway helped build that thing. Yeah. You know, not that it was in the basement to begin with, but, you know, Jeff Conaway did a really, really good job of building that to a state title program every year. And Tucker's come in and just made it even better. You know, they continue to move up in classification. They continue to win games. That's a really, really big win at Benton. Being a really good team. Coach Harris does a great job. I've got nothing but respect for what he's done at that program there. But, you know, Shiloh is a team that can win in so many different ways. If they need to run the football, they're going to do it that way. If they need to throw it or they need to play defense, they always seem to find a way to get it done. And they're going to need all three of those this weekend. yeah. You know, Greenwood is I was having this conversation earlier this week. Greenwood is a team that you just don't want to face because for so long, and you saw it, they were so screen heavy. You know, they screen. All of a sudden they run the fake screen and they hit you up for the big one. What Kane Archer has done to develop the deep passing game this year makes it almost not fair when you're playing a team like that. Again, they've got three really, really good receivers. Obviously, the tragedy with the Arrington kid earlier this year, but they haven't missed a beat. They can score from the 1 yard line or from the far 1 yard line. It doesn't matter. And they do it in a hurry. But the one thing that nobody talks about enough is their defense.
Yeah.
They haven't given up a point in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They've got all these mercy rule wins, and so their backups don't give up points, Jeff. That's what's crazy about that is they don't let the foot off the pedal at all. It could be 70-0, and we've seen that in a game or two. The backups are playing just as hard and just as well as some of those starters.
And they're getting to develop those guys. I mean, you're thinking about those guys are getting a whole half of high school football that a lot of programs aren't getting. Yeah. All right, a big matchup here. This is one that I think is kind of interesting. You know, Brian, tell somebody does something with Brian's defensive line, I'm all over Brian.
Yeah.
But you got Jody Grant, who's probably done one of his best jobs coaching this year, starting off 0-3 and just ran through the conference, line them up, you know, knocks off Conway, who Conway beat them earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. But Brian's been dominant. What's your take? Bentonville beat them last year in the semis.
Psychological
there.
So I don't know if he can bottle it. But if he can, he would make a lot of money. I've never seen a coach have his team play well at the right time of the year as consistently as Jody Grant. Your Southside teams did that a lot, too. But every year, Bentonville is playing their best football in November and December. And I don't know how he does it. I don't know if it's the offseason program. Obviously, you mentioned he loads up the non-conference schedule. Everybody thought the sky was falling as they're 0-3, and they haven't been touched since then. You know, it's the little things, though, you know, that they were able to battle back against some adversity against Conway in the semifinals. But, you know, you got a 2-point conversion, tips off the fingertips, probably should have been caught. And all of a sudden, a 1-point lead would have been a 3-point lead for Conway. And then it's a tie game. But if that's the championship pedigree. Conway hasn't gotten there. Conway hasn't been to the state finals since 1993. Bentonville's there for the third straight year. It's those little things that get you to Little Rock and the War Memorial. And Bentonville just does the things the right way. And obviously the Ficklin, the running back kid, he's going to give you a chance. Anytime you can get him going, you're going to have a chance to be successful offensively. And for Bryant, you know, I've had a chance to watch him the last couple of weeks. What they did to Conway at week 10 was unreal. I mean, you're down 14-7, and all of a sudden it's a mercy rule within, you know, 10 minutes of game action. Is this the best team that Bryant's had in the last 5 or 6 years? I'm not going to say that yet, but they're certainly in the conversation. They're loaded. They've got a big time quarterback. They've got a big time running back. To me, the receiver, I think he's number 2 or 3, the 6'4" kid. I mean, he's almost unguardable, especially when they put him in the slot. That's what we really saw that a lot against Conway. It's going to be a real tall task for Bentonville to get it done. But if anybody can get it done, it's going to be Jody Grant in the company for sure.
And they find ways. I mean, Jody hurt them in the kicking game last year on just kickoffs. They didn't handle it real well, and they ran the football on them. So he knows how to get it done, obviously, but tall task with Brian. Well, Bobby, do this. Talk to our audience a little bit. If they can't make it out to War Memorial, which that's where we want, you know, you want fans there and all that part, but they're going to stay at home. Where can they see these games on TV?
Yeah, so Arkansas PBS has got all 7 state championship games live on television, start with the 8-man game on Thursday night. 2A is going to be at noon on Friday, then 5A Friday night, then 6A and 7A on Saturday. Arkansas PBS, and also you can stream it if you live in the state of Arkansas, Arkansas PBS's website. If you're outside the state, you can stream it on the NFHS network. So plenty of ways to watch, but of course, we prefer you go buy a ticket and come out and watch it in person.
Well, that's what it's all about, man. That's what you're there for, being there live, you know.
That's right.
And everything. Well, Bobby, hey, appreciate you coming on, giving us this information, you know, especially with EPC, Conway Christian, familiar getting our audience familiar with these two teams. That'll be a great, great weekend. First weekend state championship. That'll be a great one.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
All right. See you, buddy. All right. Well, guys, you got it. Let's talk. We're going to start from small school. They got playing at different times. We're going to start with our 2A state championship game. You got Conway Christian, who is everybody's been high on all year, taking care of Bigelow, took care of Junction City last week. And then you got EPC, who everybody kind of talked about. And then it got real quiet through the year, and they've come on. By golly, they're sitting right there in the state finals again, Daryl.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy how that happens. Conway Christian coming off a 25-21 victory over Junction City. Jaron Thomas, their quarterback, is a spectacular player for me. He struggled a little bit in the passing game, but he hit two big touchdown passes, and that one hit one with 8 seconds left to Deegan Meeks. 8 seconds, they took a 20-yard touchdown pass, caught it. That was the end of the game in that one. That's how he ended it. Jaron Thomas ended up with 100 yards passing, 114 yards on the ground, so he can run it too. And defensively, Conway Christian's played really well defensively. They held up against probably one of the better players in Class 2A last week against Junction City. They held him to only like 3 touchdowns, which was pretty phenomenal, if you really want to know. he actually kind of had to earn it a little bit there in their big win. Coach Kramer's done a good job defensively getting that team to where they are. Here's the big task. They're going to play, EPC. They beat Mount Ida, who is a real physical team. Mm-hmm. Beat them 54-33 this past week, ran the football whenever they wanted to. Their quarterback, Eli Brack, hit a big 68-yard touchdown pass to Quincy Perry, kind of opened that game up a little bit. But D. Buchanan had 238 yards and 3 touchdowns on the ground. And Jacob Gaines had 220 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. Gaines broke one for 72 yards in that game. They combined for 458 yards of rushing.
Wow.
That means EPC ain't turning it over either.
No.
They're carrying it with both hands. It looks like they're just taking turns carrying it, too. So both those guys in the backfield, like I said, they make the game short, too, because they're going to keep it on the ground unless you give up the big play to them. So I think EPC is going to win this one, which I wouldn't have said that. Heck, they were off everybody's radar. I think they were in our all-souls, though.
They were all-souls all year long.
We had a little eye on them. We didn't know this was going to happen. But, what a magical run they're having so far. I think Conway Christian's there. I just don't know if they're explosive enough to keep up with EPC. So I'm taking EPC in this one.
Taking EPC. All right, Mouth, Conway Christian, EPC. EPC's been there before.
I'm going to take EPC in this one.
Oh, Mouth's going with EPC. Jumped right on that. All right, Coach Cox, let's hit this. We're going to talk about another bunch, too, that hadn't been there before. Talk to us a little bit about, because you went back-to-back, the biggest difference in going the second time, no matter what the results were. Your kids more familiar, kind of the layout. Do you think that's a huge advantage?
I do. What shoes do you wear? The crown of the field, just different things. That's why it's important that they go up and they get a little experience practicing, just to get the feel of the field. And it'll be a new thing, but it sounds like they've got everything, EPC again. I go by what I've heard, and I've heard a lot from you guys, and apparently they're pretty talented. And so, Conway Christian, I don't know much about them. They're again, another school that may be getting some of those good athletes from Conway High School you just never know. I'm glad to see them progress and get better and better, but I've got to go with EPC.
Coach Cox is going with EPC. Guys, I'm going to go with Conway Christian. I think they've kind of rolled right through all year long. Everybody's had a lot of expectations for them. EPC slides in, but it'll be a great game. But I'm going to go with Conway Christian. I think that they're going to get it done. All right. Five. Man,
could be some people in the portal if they do.
Yeah, it happens. It happens, guys. It happens. That'd
be scary over there.
Exactly. All right. Yeah. 5A state championship. You got Tommy Tice and the Farmington Cardinals just pulling things out. The Magic Lester is unbelievable. There's something magical going on there against the big bad Parkview Patriots. And they've been tested one time in 2 years, and they've answered the bell every week. little key matchup. You got Mark Whatley, the offense coordinator at Farmington. You got Bobby Bowden, the defense coordinator at Parkview. Both worked together at Ashdown when Coach Whatley was head coach. So they've met and they know each other very well. Ought to be an interesting matchup. Daryl, your take.
Well, you know, we picked this last week that we didn't think Coach Tice was satisfied with 300.
Yeah.
So he went 301.
Yeah.
Coach Cox, your phone's probably going to start ringing too if Coach Tice keeps winning. I mean, all you old guys are going to get calls this spring.
I've been waiting for it.
Yeah, they're going to bring you back out, man. I'm telling you, first time since 1973.
Wow.
Farmington has been in this situation. They scored 29 points in the fourth quarter last week. Aiden Lester was 15 of 16 in that quarter for 209 yards and four scores. He threw for 422 yards and ran for 63 yards.
Unbelievable.
He almost had 500 yards of total offense last week. Russell Hodge, the bell cow, just keeps coming up with big, huge plays for him. He had 74 yards rushing and a touchdown. Dawson Keaton had 12 catches for 147 yards and three touchdowns. Akia Johnson had 165 yards and a touchdown in that game. And most of all that game, I hope Coach Tice's wife takes him in for a little physical before he goes.
Oh,
because the fourth quarter, bless his heart. I mean, it's like it's a whole different team he's playing with. It's crazy. I mean, I don't know what the first three quarters are. Let's just make it hard on Coach Tice. I don't know. But they keep finding a way. Like I said, I didn't know if they would ever stop the Omen kid from running the ball. I remember the text I got, and you said John Riggins. I go, they can't stop baby John Riggins. That's the craziest thing I ever seen online. But they figure out a way to get on the other end of it. And like I said, 59-55. You know, they had scored over 50 now, I think, five times. Farmington has been over the 50-point. Wow. Amazing. Finding ways to win. But man, Parkview, you want to talk about just fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think they're actually gotten better week in, week out, which was kind of the struggle. You know, the game they dropped to Bryant, they had some trouble blocking those guys, which we figured out everybody does. So I don't know where that came from. Like we were onto something or not. But man, they go up to Northeast Arkansas. You think, hey, travel game. Coach Bonin's done an amazing job of just getting kids ready to play. I mean, you know, they're not satisfied. You can tell they've got, I don't know how he's got the chip on their shoulder, but they got a little chip on their shoulder. Maybe Bryant did that to him. I don't know. But Brad's done a phenomenal job with those guys. Defensively, they get better and better. And like we said last year, now, you know, it gets to playoff time. And I swear Bobby's just going down there and going, hey, I need that guy to play corner for just a play or two. And it's working out. The guys are coming up with turnovers on the defensive side. In the first half, they scored twice. On defense, Parkview did against Valley View. Material Elston had two touchdowns. He caught both passes from Emmanuel Bunning. That's gave him the passing game a little bit. They play him at quarterback. He's the junior. Jermaine Petty had a 50-yard interception return for a touchdown. Quentin Murphy had a 53-yard run at the quarterback spot. And they kind of just move him all over the place now. Chase White had a 60-yard touchdown return. Interception. Cameron Settles caught a touchdown, ran for a touchdown. I mean, they're so explosive. And defensively, man, they'll get after the passer too. Like our the middle linebacker's phenomenal.
Unbelievable.
I mean, yes, he's so good. I don't know. The NIL money must be getting bigger and bigger for that guy because that guy can run and he's really physical when he gets there. I think he's going to hurt himself just hitting people. That's crazy. But anyway, I'm going to take Parkview in this one. What a great season Farmington's had, but I think this year stops at 301.
Yeah. Parkview's unbelievable, but Coach Tyson, they just find ways to win.
Oh, I know.
Don't hang around with them in the fourth quarter.
That's what I was about to say. If it gets to be close in the fourth quarter, you know, what do they call those swing bets? The bet line changes.
Yeah.
If it's close in the fourth quarter, I bet you the Cardinals will light up quickly. But, you know, I think they're going to have a hard time keeping it close enough to get there. But, you know, like I said, they've got a lot of magic in their season.
See
if it continues on.
Well, Matthew, you've been over to Farmington. You've seen Magic Lester in action. But they got the big boys from Parkview rolling in. Ought to be a crazy, crazy matchup.
It ought to be a heck of a matchup. You know, Farmington just does enough. Every week in the playoffs, you think the first week they're going to lose to BB. not so fast, my friend. Then the next week, they play Camden Fairview, a pick against the Farmington Cardinals. You would think, Mouth, you will learn your lesson. Not yet. Then last week, the Mouth, I believe if I'm correct, the Mouth picked Hot Springs Lakeside.
I believe you did, buddy.
I have not learned my lesson yet. I'm just going to tell you, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, and I'm going to be older in 2 weeks. So, that being said, Farmington has had an outstanding season. Aiden Lester is one heck of a high school football player, competitor, extraordinaire. The veteran coach, Coach Tommy Tice, hats off to him coming to the job in July and just rolls off undefeated. After losing their first two games, they go, ooh, how many they won in a row? 11?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Something like that.
But that all being said, all good things must come to an end. The Parkview Patriots are going to come in there, and it's just going to be a simple game of athletes. Parkview's athletes beat Aiden Lester, but he'll go down fight.
Well, I agree with that. All right, Coach Cox, here we go. You got Cinderella rolling in, and you got the big, bad Parkview Patriots, who people just believe are unstoppable, dominated 5A the last 2 years. Your thoughts?
Well, I tell you what, the coaches just mean the world to me. Brad was a coach here at Greenwood when I moved back from Fordyce, so I got to know him. He coached my son Jacob in soccer, and I just love the guy to pieces, his family. Don't know Bobby as well, but I know he and Brad are just doing a great job together. Tommy Tice, I mean, you can't say enough good things about that guy. And you talk about being hired in July. I remember one July he was hired at Harrison. Yeah. Well, I was hired at Huntsville. So I followed Tommy at Huntsville and just, love him to pieces. He's a class act. If you notice last week, he talked about caring for each other. Yeah. You got to care more for others than you do for yourself. That's Tommy Tice in a nutshell. And then Mark Wiley was down at Rising when I was at Fordyce. And Mark and I got close. And matter of fact, I don't think the communities liked us talking friendly to each other, but they've done a tremendous job, and I'm so happy for them, for the community of Farmington. But the Mouth said it right. Those athletes from Parkview, and now they're starting to play a little more defense. You know, they played Bryant the third game of the season and got beat 30-10. I think they were playing with them early on.
Yeah.
And they have just got some tremendous talent. And, I think Parkview is going to go up there and they'll win the game.
Well, obviously they're big favorites going into it. Coach Tyson had a phenomenal year. If it's close, Lester can make a difference in the fourth quarter. I just don't know how, where it's going to be yet, but I'm going to go with Parkview. They've dominated all year. Coach Tyson, magical year. I mean, they're there. I mean, who would have predicted that earlier in the year? And he's kept it on track. Phenomenal job, but Parkview's just too much.
All right. Hey, and here's the other thing is Parkview gets to play War Memorial.
Yeah, that's their home field.
That's huge.
Home field.
Another big hats off to Bo Thompson, the AD.
Yeah.
How about that guy calling Coach Tyson going, hey, are you busy? Is there any chance you come out here? You know, that call probably started with, hey, who do you think would be available? I'm sure Coach Tyson by the end said, hey, I don't have nothing to do, man.
Yeah. I'm ready to go
out here, man. Lead us in pep rallies. I want to do the whole thing.
Exactly.
What a great story that's been.
That is. It has been. He
probably said I look good in red.
There you go. Well, let's talk about this one. We got the 6A state championship, a rematch from earlier this year. You got the Greenwood Bulldogs, our number two team in the state in the big classification, going against Shiloh. Shiloh played them pretty tough. Coach Young was on here last week, talked about how Shiloh played a bunch of kids both ways early, got tired against them earlier in the year, but then boom, this time of year, it looks like it's not bothering them a bit. And they go to Benton and just, hey, they put on a show, man.
They mollywopped them at Benton.
Yeah.
Greenwood, we'll go start with them first here. 42-0 over Mountain Home. That was at the half. This is their fifth straight final. They've won 25 straight home games, or 25 straight games, period. They have 11 state titles this century. They have 17 state championship games they've appeared in. 9 out of the last 10 6A state championship games they've appeared in. They've won 12. They have 12 state titles since 2000. Wow. They scored their first six possessions last week. 6 of 6. Jeez. Perfect. Yeah, they had to take them out of the game. They outgained Mountain Home 390 yards to 46 in the first half. The Bulldogs defense gave up three first downs in the game. And our guy was 17. He had an off night. He threw 3 incompletions. Oh, 17. My God. Yeah, is off. 17 of 20 for 300 yards, 5 touchdowns. He had a 20-yard touchdown run, Kane Archer. He has 54 touchdowns, 1 interception, and 49 incompletions. Grant Carnes had 3 catches for 114 yards and 3 touchdowns, and Champ Davis had 7 catches for 145 and 2 touchdowns. So those guys accounted for 5 touchdowns in that game. And like I said, once again, these are unbelievable numbers, and these guys aren't playing but maybe 3 quarters. I mean, they're literally shut down after 3 or 4 quarters because Coach Young's nice. Is he going to stay nice this week, you think?
I don't know. You never know.
I don't know. You got Shiloh who comes in here, and they have a formula that would keep you in the games against Greenland. They're very, very physical up front. You know, they're opportunistic on defense. They're not just the bend and break kind of. They can come up with some turnovers there, which they're going to have to. But like I said, Greenwood has not been forced into a lot of turnovers. They don't mishandle balls. And like I said, I think Coach Young does just a great job of the next game.
Yeah,
I think he's one of the best at that. Just the next game is the next game. Shiloh beat, like I said, beat Bryant 45-32. This is their sixth straight trip to the finals themselves, even over the move in or the move up and the whole 9 yards. The Creighton kid came in and played quarterback.
Yeah.
Creighton was actually 11 of 14. Actually, he was the starter. And then Jake Bondenstein came in, went 12 of 14 for 230 and 2 touchdowns. Griffin Mason had 240 yards and 4 touchdowns. He had 2 receiving touchdowns, 1 passing, and he threw one. Little halfback pass.
I saw
that. They used that. Coach Barnard has done a great job at Shiloh. Like I said, they mix it up. Defensively, they're really good. Defense forced 5 turnovers, had 2 punts on 3 and outs. So they had 7 extra possessions that they gained in the Benton game, which we talked about how explosive Benton was on offense. That's why we wanted to see them play Greenwood, because they were both so explosive. So it's going to have something come up with that. Greenwood's going to have to play. Oh my gosh. They're going to have to play really, really bad, I think, in this game for Shiloh to keep up, but also possessions become important here. Can Shiloh steal a couple possessions? Can they hold on the ball and sustain drives? That's something to be seen. Greenwood's been there, done that. And like I said, these guys expect it every year. Their town does. Their administration does. Everybody does. I mean, it's an amazing – I mean, you could talk about the Hoover Alabamas of the world and all this other stuff, but Greenwood is probably the place to be in Arkansas high school football. So I'm going to take Greenwood to win this one. Greenwood. And I think they get to play all 4 quarters. Remember, Archer got knocked out in the first game.
He did. He was knocked out, and you know, it was a close game. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is Shiloh's only team that didn't get mercy ruled by these guys.
Oh, yes. Yes, by far. Unbelievable. They're the only person that held them under 35.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're averaging almost 60 points a game.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
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 And they're playing a half, by the way.
Exactly. All right, Mouth. Greenwood, Shiloh, baby. This ought to be a 6A West matchup back in the state finals.
Wow. I want to say, first off, my hat's off to Shiloh with their performance last Friday night, because Coach Williams, you know how much I love Benton. You know how much I love Benton Panthers. I mean, you could not have told me that Shiloh was going to go up there and whoop Benton like they did, because Benton looks good coming off the bus now. Shiloh wasn't scared when they saw him march out there first time. And golly, Kane Archer is just fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, did we say he had 54 touchdowns this year?
Yeah.
And 54. And 50. And 49 incompletions. I mean,
One interception.
One interception. So he's throwing touchdowns and he's not turning it over. So that is, usually you got to, if you're Shiloh, you're thinking we got to have a lot. We got to have a few turnovers. Good luck getting them. Shiloh's had a fabulous year. They just keep winning whenever they move up in classifications. That being said, Greenwood Bulldogs.
Greenwood Bulldogs. All right, Coach Cox, you're very close to that Greenwood Bulldog.
You're right there in the middle of it. Matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, the Shiloh coach has a history of facing Greenwood because he was at Stillwater when Chris took his team over Stillwater. Stillwater ended up beating him. Yep. I believe Stillwater won state championship that year. Yep. So, yep. You know, he's faced them with multiple talented teams, but he's also got a talented team at Shiloh. And that fourth game of the season was 28-17.
Yeah.
And I realized some kids got hurt, but the physicality was unreal that Shiloh could match up. And, you know, we talk about all of Greenwood's specialty people, the quarterback, the receivers, but Greenwood's offensive and defensive line is second to none. I mean, they're like those physique people, you know, those statues that you build, and they're off season. Jason Gill does a great job with them. I think it's going to be a close game. You know, now maybe the community thinks, oh, well, Greenwood, they're going to go mercy rolling this time. Well, Shiloh's a good football team. I'm picking Greenwood. Greenwood's got they're on a mission. They're on a mission, you know, just like Fort Ice is on a mission. A lot of things happen in the communities this last year and stuff. And I love what Greenwood's doing. It doesn't matter whether it's football, if it's choir, if it's band, whatever. They want you to be the best they can be. And I'm picking Greenwood, but I'm picking that it's going to be a close game.
Yeah, all right. You're taking Greenwood in a close one. I'm with you. I think this is closer than what people think it'll be. I think you brought up Coach Bernard, and Tucker does a great job. He's a defensive coach. He's given them problems before, but Kane Archer and them are going to be able to pull it out. But I think I'm with you. I think everybody's kind of gone in. Hey, Greenwood, let's hand them the trophy. I think you're going to have to work a little bit for it. You can tell, you know, Bryant up front wise is just phenomenal in the way they do things on defense. Quad's got them fit and everything. Bentonville, the job Jody Grant has done, I mean, he's asked to be up for Coach of the Year easily, you know, starting off 0-3 and find his way back to finals. And just doing it the Bentonville way. I mean, they got back to it, finding ways. Probably not as near as talented team, but my gosh, they're right back there again 3 years in a row, Darrell.
Yeah, and I tell you what, they do a great job of game planning because, I mean, they played a three front mostly against Conway the whole night. You know, sometimes they'll go four front, but they went with a three-man front, kind of rotated these big, huge nose guards inside. Which was kind of huge for them to actually spy the quarterback the entire time. I thought their secondary did a great job, especially in defense, and they hit big plays. I mean, they had big plays. Mason Hawkins, number 80, hit a big, you know, they hit him on a slant. He took about 70 yards. Trevor Grant's done a great job. He had the one turnover, but other than that, I thought he played a really clean game. He got rid of it when he needed to. He didn't take a big sack down there at the end, too. I mean, he kept his poise and didn't take a sack and got rid of the ball. Like we said about special teams, Ryan Fernstrom is the kicker. He was the kicker that got them here. So the team of destiny advances because of that. But, you know, their defense plays so well. And like I said, they've got just a great scheme there. They can run the football. You know, they'll run it to keep you off the field, and they're going to have to do that this week. Yeah. I don't know how you run it against Bryant because nobody does. Nobody's figured it out yet. Because if you can't get it outside and you can't run the football against them, they make you one-dimensional, and then Mr. Hill is going to come meet you a couple times. You're going to get to see that great-looking kid get after the quarterback. Bryant with a big, huge win last week. Like I said, this is their seventh trip to the state finals in the last 8 years. They held PA to three trips across the 50.
Jeez,
did you hear that?
Yeah.
Brandon Cobb's like ninth in the country.
I know.
Total offense. They got across the 50-yard line three times. Yeah, that's saying something there. 28-0 at the half. Turnovers play a difference in that, too, because if they get a turnover, it's big time, usually. Eli Hill's the guy, the defensive end, that brings it, the McDonald kids inside. And they have a three-headed monster at running back. You have Anderson Thrash and this Curtis Jones kid that's kind of give him a little scat back coming out of the backfield there. Jordan Walker, veteran quarterback's been in these games before. And like we said, in the playoffs, we kept wondering, hey, are they going to run him? Are they going to run him? Now they're running him.
Oh, yeah.
You see the difference that that makes. Got Caleb Austin on the outside, too. I mean, they've got some weapons on offense. And defensively, they're so good. They were really worried about the secondary. Remember, everybody's like, oh, the secondary this year. Yeah. Secondary's played fantastic for Bryant. It also helps that they don't have to cover you very long because they can get after the quarterback so much. This will be a great game. You never want to count out Coach Grant. Because he'll come up with something. You know, they tried the flea flicker reverse last week. It didn't work out real well. But there's always some kind of trick in there. Like I said, they're not going to beat themselves. You know, they're going to have to hold on the ball and sustain drives in this one. Nobody has been able to do that against Bryant, besides maybe Benton in the first game.
Yeah.
But Benton got in trouble turning the ball over. I think Bryant wins this one. I think Coach Sanders has done a phenomenal job, and I think they're hungry to get back there and show everybody that you know, it's not about who's coaching them. It's about those kids out there. So I think this is a huge game for Bryant. I think I'm going to take Bryant this one.
Yeah, Quad's done a phenomenal, phenomenal job. What an outstanding coach. All right, Matthew, you've been over to Bryant. You've been to Bentonville. You know both programs real well. Back in the finals, Jody Grant finds a way, and then you're sitting there with Bryant, who's been just perfect all year long.
And this is another tough one on my heart, Coach Williams. Because I like both these programs. Both coaches have done an outstanding job. Coach Sanders with replacing Coach James before last season. They just keep on rolling. And my hat's off to Bentonville and their coaching staff because they go 0-3 at the beginning of the year. They lose to Jinx, Oklahoma, I believe, Conway. And then
Lee Summit
out of Kansas City. And at that point, those players, Coach Grant and his staff just did a great job of keeping those players together, and they've run off nine in a row since. That being said, nobody's been able to block Bryant all year. Nobody's been able to stop Bryant from scoring, Jordan Walker from making plays when he needs to. I believe Bentonville will keep – it'll be a good game, but I thoroughly expect Bryant to win.
Taking Bryant. All right, Coach Cox, I want to ask you a question. These two met up last year in the semifinals. Bentonville goes to Bryant. I mean, we're different teams, obviously, different year. But they went to Bryant last year and just physically dominated and killed them in the kicking game. Is that a factor? Either way, what's your thoughts on this one?
Oh, you know, always the kicking game's always a factor. Yeah. You know, I think both staffs do a great job with it. You know, the couple of things that I looked at was Bryant beat Conway 49-14 on the 10th game. Bentonville beat Conway 36-34. And, you know, and Conway's got a great program. But again, Bryant just keeps loading up, reloading. And, I mean, they've got it rolling, and I've got to pick Bryant. Although Bentonville, I mean, Jody's done a great job up there and really proud to see what he's done.
Well, I'm with you. I think Coach Grant and them have done a great job. They'll come up with some things and some schemes, but it goes back on what Mouth, Daryl, and you said. I hadn't seen anybody block Bryant all year. And I until somebody does that, Bentonville did it last year, but until somebody proves that, I think Bryant's the team to beat. So I'm going to go with Bryant and everything. Well, guys, I tell you what, before we get off here, let's go ahead and thank our sponsors again. We're powered by Lindsay & Associate, All American Steakhouse and Springdale and the Pigs brand. Coach, we appreciate you coming on. Hey, I know you're a big fan of the show. You watch it every week, but well, for coming on, man, we're going to send you some gear. Some Coaches of the Mouth gear and send you a $100 gift card to All American Steakhouse. It's an outstanding spot.
Man, I appreciate it. Hey, again, you guys do a tremendous job, and you give me some laughs. You know what? I need some laughs every so often. So, hey, I appreciate you guys, all of you. Keep up the great work for Arkansas football.
Well, we appreciate it and everything, guys. We have a lot of fun with it. There's no doubt about it. Well, I want to do this also. Check out our merchandise. It's on YouTube. Go through there. Also, make sure you hit the like and subscribe button. That's why this thing keeps going and everything. Well, for Coach Jeff Williams, Coach Daryl Fimple, the mouth, Brent Bender, and our Lindsay Associated guest, Coach Jim Cox. We'll see you next time.